Okay, everybody. Hello, hello. Welcome. I feel like I've already been talking off recording for a few minutes, so yeah, I may end up repeating myself just a little bit. I won't go into too many details. The idea that we were chatting about was around intentions and attention and the philosophical pieces and how that applies when it comes to the practical explorations of our inner work. And we're starting off today's session in the transformation of worry. So this fits right in because worry is all about wherever we have levels of confusion to be able to bring in a sense of clarity when we're not personalizing that particular layer of emotion. And we're doing it in the context of houses 7 and 8, just to give us even more something like contextual, something to bite our teeth into around that all. So houses 7 and 8 is very much as we, you know, as we've been working on, although we haven't talked about this for a while, is about partnerships and, excuse me, partnerships and relationships for the in particular house 7. And then house 8 is going more into the death, rebirth, regeneration pieces. And both houses 7 and 8 are steeped in the water element. And it's interesting that we're also working with worry, which is very earth element. So there's a bridge here of water and earth, which are sort of like the two more human areas. Air and fire go more up into the not, I think of it as a human being, and to like the realms of beingness. So the realms are more like the spiritual essences, and or the divine essences, or the less tangible essences, if we want to maybe apply it that way, might be a better way to put it. But the water and the air are sort of like bottom two layers. Water being the lowest, and pardon me, water and earth. Water being the lowest, and earth being slightly above it. And I think of water and earth as giving a sense when they come together. Is that water actually hydrating the soil well? Is there a drought? Is it too wet? Has it been raining for, you know, years? And there's like this rotting earth that's just becoming like stagnant with microbial growth that isn't actually supportive to growing plant life, you know? So there's a wide array of mishmashes possible here. So as we head into all of that, I'm going to invite you just to get comfy and cozy, connecting to your intention for today. Intention meaning there's some level of stress that's connected to your identity, to who it is that you believe yourself to be, to who it is you learned to be. And then as you focus on your attention, pardon me, intention, bringing in your breath in a way that also invites in your curiosity. So how curious can you be about your intention today? And as you breathe, every inhale becomes an opportunity to drink in life. To become even just a little bit more curious, breath by breath. And to allow new possibilities to take place. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. And to be spacious. And then every breath an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, taking a moment to savor, to let yourself really be with that. Let it rumble through you. Okay. Then I'm going to invite you to find something pleasant, neutral even, or perhaps really pleasant in the sense that it brings you, a sense of beauty, ease, delight. I invite you to do that on the outside or the inside of you. You pick. I was going to say inside, but see if that fits for you. And then, as you let your attention, your now sense, land on whatever this is inside of you that feels easeful, beautiful, or simply neutral to be with. The invitation is to notice what it is you like about it. And then on purpose, to drink those qualities in. Drink those qualities in. As you do that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you to this earth that holds us, granting us nourishment, the sky above giving us space to explore. And thank you to the fire connecting us to the mysterious edges of the beyond. And thank you to the water connecting us to our very core. And to all that's gone into our sweet moments of being here. To our families who created us. Our ancestors who created them. And the lineage that's held it all. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. And as you again bring your awareness to your intention for today, offering it your breath, I'll be curious to see how today's session matches with that in whatever way that arises in your contemplations, in your direct experience, in your somatic tingles, sensations. Whatever is alive for you around it all. So we're interestingly enough starting off with a cell repair. I don't always start off with cell repair. And cell repair helps to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health. We're going into the family lines. We're going back 6 generations down dad's side. And we're working with the emotion of, no surprise, worry. And worry, like I was mentioning earlier, is very much about confusion, meaning like things are just too stuck together. In a way, it's actually because like there isn't sufficient division or sufficient boundary. And there's like the stuckness or melting into, merging into. So if we can imagine actually giving clear definition, clear division, clear boundaries, we're going to bring in the planetary energy of Mars, which is very much about giving like clear division. You can even hear like that in the phrase clear division, meaning giving rise to clarity. You can see from a different perspective when we're, things aren't collapsed or merged into one another. And I like to think of boundaries as something that comes from a place of very like fierce love. And those boundaries are meant to in essence also support that clarity. And they're for you, not so much for the other person. But we draw our boundaries so we can be clear on what's happening, what is we like to invite more in of. Boundaries are actually an invitation inwards of what it is we're asking for in life. And amongst us, we're going back six generations of the male lineage to repair, in essence, the damage that comes from lack of healthy boundaries. Lack of healthy clarity. Lack of healthy, in particular, communication around that clarity. And we're bringing the planetary energy of Mercury into the tongue and the heart. And it's actually like clear communication around relationality, clear communication in your boundaries around what it is you're wanting, desiring, looking for, what it is you're needing. Versus, I don't know about you all, but I think I witnessed a lot of relationality happening through assumptions, through not talking about things, through sweeping things underneath the rug. And we're working with the challenges as well that come with speech. You know, there it wasn't, they say in the study of humans, that it wasn't always there, that speech became added on afterwards. And that became something that wasn't as familiar or useful or instinctual is a better way to put it. Not necessarily useful, but it wasn't as familiar or regarded as useful because it wasn't just like hardwired into the instincts. So in essence, we're looking at supporting the system in defining what it is to have healthy communication and refining the skill sets of that. And as we work with this through the tongue, through the heart, it works with the social engagement nervous system and the part of us that again feels the desire or the impulse to be in relationship and to do that through the lens of healthy expression and communication. And although a big chunk of our overall communication is nonverbal, we're actually working with that sliver, that 7% that actually is verbal. So this is actually working with the verbal communication. Okay, the function of clarity in our expression, in our communication, in our capacity to verbalize. Is related, they say, to our autonomy, meaning your own sense of self. So, if you were granted a really strong sense of self through your early development, you likely, these are the people that can like likely really easily ask what it is they're looking for. They're really clear on things. It's not a hard thing to tackle. If you, through your developmental time frame, had less of that, then the capacity to be really clear in your verbal capacity is also minimized when it comes to the relationality piece in particular. You might be really clear and effective at expressing in many domains, but when it comes to relationality, it gets a little bit tricky. So this isn't so much about you being able to express what you know, it's about how do you clearly express through your emotional lens. And as we work with it through that angle, the muscles that correlate to healthy autonomy happen to hang out in the back of the skull, and they go through the neck and they anchor into the back, but they're like the really deep muscles that hold up your head, that give you the straight posture, that get compromised or can get compromised if you're chronically looking down at a device, if you're chronically looking down and you kind of get stuck there and you forget to actually like oh. Bring your head back up and to let your neck stretch out again. Tech neck, as they're calling it, has become so rampant, it's almost like a given in our children, in their generations. Or in the generations, I don't even know what to call them anymore. How old am I? It's not even like Gen X stuff. It's more like the, and not even millennials, although they had a fair bit of it too. It's the other ones after that, the Gen Z, the Gen Alpha, is it? And amongst all of that, there's this in the neck muscles themselves. There's like a sense of the overuse of particular joints that are just creating stagnant, basically posture through the musculoskeletal system that's designed to work together. And it's going in particular through two joints, through the TMJ and through the where the skull joins the spine, the OA joint. And these two sets of joints are meant to work together. So when one collapses, it'll take out the other one. And they're meant to actually sort of like hinge in a healthy way together. And then that'll show up as if they're collapsed on to one another, it'll show up often in tension through the tongue. It'll show up in tension through the cranial nerves 12 that innervate the tongue, as well as cranial nerve 5, and that can go into the second and the third branches. Did we work with that at some point? We might have, but I can't remember. But anyways, it's working through that particular region as well here. So coming back to the neck muscles, these are elements, pardon me, they're related to the elements of earth, and these are like the splenus capitis is one of the names. I won't go into all of them. There's I think three or four major ones. And the idea here is that they're like really deep muscles that you can't even quite get into with a massage. They're more postural in nature. And for these particular muscles, and for the OA and TMJ joints, the whole musculoskeletal system that relates to the, we'll call it collapsed autonomy for short, is what we're going to focus on next. I'm going to bring in a round of full body lymphatic drainage. Because when this collapses, so too does the pelvis, and it makes it hard for lymph to drain everywhere. And in doing so, cleaning out low self-esteem that says, I'm basically not even worth standing up for. I'm not worth standing up straight for. As we run that lymphatic drainage, we're also going to run it through the eyes, through the visual receptors on both the physical level as well as on the subtle sense of vision. Okay, interesting. It's working with a sense of like having like a collapsed vision. Meaning like if we're always sort of like in this posture with our head tilted down, and it's one thing if it's functional to actually look at your device. And it's also, even if you're not holding your device, a posture that the head and through the musculoskeletal configurations that we've discussed can get locked into a little bit. And it goes with the sense bioenergetically of like always looking down and feeling kind of despondent, dejected. Not a vibrant sense of like, I feel alive and ready to take on the world. Yeah. So with that can go a sense of I'm not sure where it is I'm going, I'm not sure what it is I'm doing. And that can lead to both sadness as well as anxiety throughout the head and the heart. And amongst that, we could sum that up as low self-worth, which is really just being stuck in this particular configuration or pattern. For all of that, meaning the head, the musculoskeletal components, the posture, the dejection, depression, anxiety, head, heart, the low self-worth. For that whole pattern, that's what I'm going to refer to it as, we're running a Sidri. It's actually continuing for the next 8 days, so it's actually going into and overlapping with our next session slightly. So for these areas, we're going to bring in circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication. One more round of lymphatic drainage, cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to essentially lower a series of almost like free radicals that are just chronically circulating through the system in a way that's just creating ongoing inflammation. And that is often present in particular in the nervous system and the immune system. It tends to almost like kind of like loop in there. So we're just disrupting that looping, but we are bringing it into all the other systems of the body as well. And then we're also bringing in the healthy balance of the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection, followed by hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Then D4 defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here, and what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection, we can think of it as the release, the letting go, the making space. Okay. At the same time as that, we're running diaphragm to intestines, but specifically on the right side. So this would be more on the masculine side. And diaphragm being that center, not just for breath, but it's our center for emotional processing, for often hanging on, for controlling things, and often a place where we're attempting to find some flexibility and letting go to integrate so we can move forward or move on. Excuse me. And then the intestines are the center for letting go, releasing, surrendering, allowing, making some space. I just tuning into that. It's specifically, this is interesting. I don't usually get this level of detail, but it's specifically going into the earth elements. And I see that as, in particular, anchoring into the overall configuration of that which has come into form, or that which is your body. So not necessarily that you're like your thoughts or your emotions, but going into like more of like the actual physical body itself. And specifically working with how it is you've been actively assimilating or digesting your world. And that might be through the conscious or through the subconscious mind, but how it is you've been actively digesting your world. And it's being defined further by sensory perception. So it's like literally working with how it is you've been digesting your world based on what it is your senses have been telling you. And looking at bringing in, whenever we started this all off, just as a reminder, by bringing in division or boundary. And if we can bring in division into our sensory perception, it can often help us to remember what happened back then versus what's happening right now in a way that allows us to work through lessening our need, I'll say, for structural identity to hold us into place. Okay. As we run diaphragm to intestines, we're going to also work with, on that right side, connecting the heel of the foot on the right side up to the base of the skull where it joins that spine, and finding a line of fascia that runs here. And in essence, our back body That brings us to a sense of feeling held in protection. So much so that our history isn't so much as at play, but we actually have room to spaciously encounter the new. As we work with that configuration, that line, we're actually running one more cellular repair, restoring cells again back to their fullest potential of health. This is acquired, meaning in this lifetime, for the posture on that right side that's become compromised, twisted, torqued. And as we do that, we're releasing a series of adhesions all the way through that again line from the right heel all the way up to where the skull joins the spine. Almost like you could take a very small, like not like you're tilting your nose up, but almost like it's like I'll do it physically. It'll look perceptible, but there's almost like this imperceptible lift that's going to happen through the very crown of the head as the back body line is able to be solidly held. And it sort of has like this motion to it. I don't have the best lighting for some reason this morning. So it's got sort of like that happening to it. I think I'm talented enough to do that with just the right side of my head, but kind of a little bit more through the right side. This is probably for me. I have a lot of scar tissue through my head and face and that on that side. So as we work with supporting the head alignment through the foot, through the arch of the foot, through the heel of the foot in particular, pardon me, which is the back side of the arch. We're also working with the idea that your brain needs to have adequate circulation through its cerebrospinal fluid to bathe it in nourishment, as well as to give it sufficient buffer to protect it from like knocking into the skull. But we're working more so with the nourishment. That happens often when we're at rest. So when we're at rest, the cells, they change size. They shrink just enough to give some space in between the cells. For the fancy word G lymphatic, I'm gonna way oversimplify it as well and just overly call it cerebrospinal fluid, begins to circulate or move through that territory. And essentially allows for circulation of nourishment, of what happens when we're at rest is often a sense that we actually get a break from us having to hold the load that gets associated with our identities or our roles that we play in life. We're working with not getting sufficient rest or the time frames in which you didn't feel like you got sufficient rest, and because of that, stayed in this state of activation in the brain. That in essence didn't allow for the natural, you can think of that sort of like shrinking when the brain is at sleep and the swelling up when it's not, as almost like a very slow moving pulse. It didn't allow for sufficient pulsing to happen. Which then just also added on to that whole TMJ, OA joint collapse of the head, lowering to feeling dejected, despondent, despaired, low self-worth. The whole bit that we worked with earlier slides in here. And related to that as well, the tongue ends up carrying more of the tension or the burden with that skull being collapsed onto it. And although the tongue is a huge muscle in the body, it's not made to balance the entirety of your head. There has to be other muscles that are supporting that too in play. And coming back now full circle to the autonomy muscles, we're also running a permissions here. And the words are simply, I stand in my own 2 feet. I'm going to say that again. Notice what happens inside of you as you hear it. I stand on my own 2 feet. I stand in my own 2 feet. All being defined by the consciousness of alignment. As we define that by the consciousness of alignment, I see it as moving up through not just the spine, but in particular around the chest cavity, around the bones that go around the heart, which are our ribs and our sternum, and working with the sense of feeling a little bit fragmented in the protection that was experienced in early life, meaning a sense that there was a lack of protection or even neglect, a sense of I wasn't supported in the way that I should have been. And as a result of that, on occasion, clinging to the desire for how things should have been through the stories that we were read to as children of this is how life will be in terms of like our fairy tales. Sometimes our fairy tales that we get read to as kids are often like nightmarish or on the edge of if we look at the Grimm's brothers and their fairy tales. And sometimes they're overly romanticized. So wherever we go, on whatever spectrum that is, there's the sense of, I'm going to say, defaulting into the fantasy world of childhood versus finding your own sense of self amongst that. And we could define that even further by looking at and landing in the awareness of what's actually here now. What am I actually present to in my life right now? Which sounds like an interesting thing when we're talking about protection. It doesn't sound instinctively protective, does it? Protection, I don't know about you, but I often thought protection was like that white knight that was coming to my side to like sweep me away, like all the fairy tales talk about. But this is more so working with a not child protection, but an adult sense of protection around, okay, if we don't actually acknowledge what's actually here as a starting point, it's going to be really tough to go anywhere different or have anything different come to fruition. So we're simply coming to clarity around what's here now. And as you work with that being held through the structure of the rib cage, as well as the sternum, that bone in front of the chest. There's some pain there around like fuck that noise. I kind of just, want someone to take care of me. I kind of just want the princess treatment. I kind of just want to be, held and loved and told everything's going to be okay. And to a degree, that's related to the things that weren't happening when you were a little one, things that were sort of missing that department. So if you could imagine that happening inside of you right now, there being a small one that just didn't get their needs met in that regard, I'm going to invite you to reparent them, to step in as the adult, and to offer them what was missing. Offer them the missing piece. What is it they would have liked to have heard? What is it they would have needed? And maybe that is that white knight in shining armor. Maybe that's a sense of, I'm here with you to hold you. Maybe that's a sense of being told, I love you. Whatever it is, the invitation is to offer that to your little one here and now. From the adult that's now going to understand them the best, which is you. You were there through all the hurts and pains of your entire life. So you get the nooks, the crannies, the niches of this better than anybody else ever could. And as you support yourself in offering this repair, this missing nourishment to this little one, it becomes something that your system begins to, I'm going to say trust in a way that it couldn't before, because the experience was other people don't always give me what I need. And you're actually repatterning that too amongst all of this, because you're actually offering yourself what it is you would have needed, and you're giving yourself the bare bones beginning of what it is to develop trust and relationship inside of you, which can then gradually over time become available to be found in the outer world. So it can happen the other way too. You might have a loving partner that can, do that for you and offer it internally to you in a way that you're meant to then take it in inside of you so that you're no longer dependent on our partners who are also meant to be adults, not our mothers, our fathers, our caregivers. They're not meant to be our adults, they're meant to be their adult for them. And then finding that for ourselves. So it can happen in other ways. And I'm going to suggest right here, right now, it doesn't need to be dependent on anybody else around you. It can actually happen right here, in this moment, with the adult that's here talking to me, sitting here with me, hanging out with me. And as you offer that to your little one, I have the sense of it being almost like when a parent kisses a child's boo-boos and they just somehow kind of get better. It's like you get to grant that level of care for yourself here and now. Okay, loves. I'm going to tap this out here. I'm going to invite you to breathe and to receive and to just keep hanging out with your little ones. Okay, I heard a sigh. Usually that's a sign. Okay. All right, loves. Giving that another round or two of breath. We're just gonna take a moment to let that peace settle on in. We're heading now into the 12th house, which is very much about ending and releasing, letting go, making space. And it's also the house of becoming an individual. And the term individuation is used in both the 5th house, which is just sort of coming into our own sense of individuality that we're separate from, our caregivers, and that everything that we learned in terms of being co-regulated with our caregivers, we can now actually offer ourselves. We can self-regulate, which is sort of what we just did a moment ago. And in the 12th house, this sense of being an individual is, I'm so full in that that I can actually support that in others. And I can be myself in a group of others, in unity, in a community even. And I can actually extend that same level of care, not just to myself, for myself, but to those around me in a way that kind of like my cup overflows from it. And it doesn't cost me anything to do that. I don't want at the end of the day go, oh, all these people are just draining my energy. They're taking so much from me. It's more being able to do it effortlessly. from a sense of just ease, which is not to guilt anybody into thinking that's something they have to be able to do. It's just pointing to the difference to the fifth house level and the 12th house level. So fifth house is very much about, again, being an individual. 12th house is an individual that's also intertwined with others around them. So this level of co-being or interbeing might be another way to phrase that. And then as we talk about it through the lens of the 12th house, it's sort of this state here of, how do I want to put this? It's something rare. We don't see a lot of people hit this point. There's not a lot of role models around us. It's something that can only actually be found from the inside out without a map. So there isn't, like, I can talk about it and I can sort of point to different ideas and thoughts that others are holding around it. And ultimately, your expression of that will be unique to you, and you'll find your own way through that territory. There's a lot of people who talk about this, and they're only talking about their own experience of it. They're not talking about really how you're supposed to do it, but it gets phrased that way. There's a point of confusion in our world. So we're working with this idea, in essence, in short, that you get to do it in your own unique expression, that you actually aren't supposed to do it like anybody else. And that also means finding your own capacity to find your own map and to be your own guide and to navigate through the dark, through the own not knowing of how that's going to show up or what that's going to look like. And to a degree, it gets to be a little bit of a surprise along the way. So in essence, we're going to work with this idea of not needing to necessarily be dependent on other people's guidance, and simultaneously being open to it showing up in ways that might even be like, hey, surprise, it's there now in this form. And amongst all of that, cell repair day, we're doing one more cell repair. This is going into now mom's side of the family lines. We're going back 5 generations, also on the emotion of worry. And we're working with. It's more, I just get the general image or sense of it being very diffuse. And that sense of it being really, the word is like airy or like intangible. It's actually seeing the airy and the intangible as a source of strength. And there's often this idea that you have to be beholden to your sense of worth that develops through your ways that the world taught you who you should be, and that the world continues to reflect back in ways it feels like you're in almost this, like, at times, this imprisoned sense of being at the mercy of other people's perceptions around you, that other people are, or your system around you is deciding who it is you should be, and everything goes with that for yourself. And that you often coincide, that often coincides with a sense of powerlessness within ourselves. And we're often told, and it's often reinforced, in particular by our caregivers, that's just the way it is. That's just the way that it is. And we're actually using the intangible or the airiness of getting to be like a little bit, in a good way, delusional and not so beholden or stuck solidly to the way things should be and the way things always have been and the way things are in this world with convictions that were taught by other people to hold, to actually skirt around that, to actually air, give space, to literally provide a sense of space around that all. And intangible is on the very edge of space itself. Okay, so usually airy and intangible aren't always like a sign of like, yay. But when it comes to 12th house, that makes a lot more sense that they would be regarded that way. So 12th house is Pisces. God bless the Pisces. My new puppy is a Pisces, so I'm obsessed with understanding Pisces through another lens now. And as we work with this, running lymphatic drainage through the liver and the liver meridian alike that are related to the 12th house. And then to some degree, I've been carrying both anger and pissed offness, along with actually just like chronic long-standing resentment around this is how the way the world is and works. And then coming back to sort of where I began this segment, the cell repair is on all of that that's held within the maternal lineage for the past five generations. Then we're linking that to the portion of the kidney meridian, I'll see if I can get it on camera, that runs kind of from kidney 27 acupuncture points. And if you know, some of us know where to land work, those if you've done body talk, otherwise known as the switching reflex points, which are roughly about here. So your sternum's here and roughly there, down and out from where your skull bone, not skull bone meets, where the collarbone meets the edge of the top of the sternum. There's some bumpies there. And if you go down and out about an inch and a half, these are roughly, very roughly, kidney 27 points. And then almost like a little channel going down through the ribcage until the, there's the puppy, the bottom of the rib cage. This is sort of the area of the kidney region that correlates to the graveyard of all of your ancestors. It's the ancestral energy that gets carried through the bones. And they, in addition to that, guard around the heart space. So as we do this, it's also loosening up and making more room for your heart as an individual to come to fuller expression. Linking that into the ears, which are the processing centers of the kidneys. The same time as all of that, we're unwinding a series of adhesions through the back of the neck muscles. Okay, so I don't know if I can get this on camera very well, but sort of like from here back. So yeah, literally for ease, the entire back of the neck. And as we work with those particular muscles, there's a few little ridges and bumps and nooks and crannies through all the various different layers of musculature here that we can think of as guarding, pardon me, the deeper layers of the autonomy muscles. It's like the sentry. And the guards to those deeper muscles are ready to not have to guard so heavily because those deeper muscles have been addressed by the earlier work in our session. So to whatever extent that sort of had traction amongst your contemplations of your intentions of your session with your curiosity, then whatever layers of that are ready to be digested and set down will be to whatever degree the sentry or the guards can also lay down some of their weaponry, their defenses around keeping this part of you safe, because it is safe. And amongst that, doing emotional releases of sadness and of worry. And this is sort of like this interesting wording that's coming through. It's weaponized sadness and weaponized worry. And the weaponized meaning towards self as well as towards others in repeating the stories of how it is you've been stuck, how it is you felt Like you couldn't do anything different. How has you been looping inside of your story of this is how it is? And I'm sad about that. Is an example of what I mean by weaponizing our emotions in this regard. And through that all, it begins to loosen up the consciousness of control and the worry of having to hold on to that control alike, through that's held in the entire head and skull, in particular back of skull. Our head often hangs on to the very final big boss, grand poobah of control. We talk about control in a lot of places, and I haven't talked about it a lot in the head. This piece of information comes in through Gabrielle Roth. You can see it when you're dancing, which is what she does. And you can see it when you're moving your body. So the last thing that we'll like sort of just like let randomly flop around, which is the sacred art of twitching, which is known as dancing, then the greater the amount of control that we're hanging on to through there. And instead of the head is the last to go. So the idea is that we'll move any other part of our body around when we're moving, when we're dancing, but we'll often like hang on to our head last, if we ever let go of it at all. So we're working with supporting the system in just touching in on the amount of a worry about letting go of control that's here. Not asking it to surrender it. There's just some layers that have just started to be touched because of all the neck work that you've brought up through today that we've all co-created together. Going to tap that all out. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And as soon as I started to tap, there was this like right and cortices. We're gonna also do cortices to integrate the cell. Cortices balancing the two sides of our head, brain, pardon me, and body, including your head. Okay, giving that a round of breaths. We invite you to begin as you breathe to contemplate the information that came through today, how that reconciles with your personal awareness of your intentions around what it is you were curious to explore today. And if you need the resource that we touched on at the very beginning, you are more than welcome to head that direction and to spend your time there. And just spending a little bit of time in resourcing yourself. So whatever feels right for you, contemplation if it's available, resourcing otherwise. And I invite us to take just a few minutes to listen to just a little bit of music here. It's just under 3 minutes. It's a song by S.E. Jane called What a Big Wide World. From the album, whose name I love, all the songs in here are great. Until the Light of Morning, original lullabies for babies and grown-ups. Breathing and receiving here.
Set the fish to the big blue sea, or you take good. set the moon to the shooting star. How wonderful you are, said the star to the silvery moon. I will make your dreams come true. Oh, it's a big wide world. Oh, it's a big wide world. Oh, it's a big
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in these ways, y'all. Thank you for being here once again, exactly as you are. I have a 4-week series coming up. Early bird deadline is in 2 days. It's on the shedding, which is the time of year that we're in right now as we enter the year of the fire horse, and we're at the end of the year of the snake. It's like the last of the snake shedding before we hit fire horse, which is all about like unstoppable momentum. So the 4-week series is helping to release anything that you want to just really surrender and put down before we dive on into the new beginning of the Chinese New Year, which is on February 17th. So if you're interested, feel free to grab it at the cheaper rate before it goes up in a couple of days. And I'm really curious to hear how today's session plays out for you. So feel free to stick around and share. If you want any extra support, let me know. And you're most welcome, everybody. So that all landed to you. Happy 2026 indeed. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day, y'all. Bye for now.